Well, we're going to turn in our Bibles to a couple different passages tonight. If you would turn to Romans chapter 12 and then to Hebrews chapter 13. Romans chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 13. I'd like to speak for just a few moments tonight. I'll not keep you real long. I'm not sure how long my voice will last anyway. But I'd like to speak to you for a few moments tonight about the subject of hospitality. And I have in mind a particular direction concerning hospitality that I want to share with you, and I trust it'll be a challenge and a blessing and a help. And honestly, tonight, we're going to look at a couple of verses, and we're going to just for a few moments look at the meaning of those verses, and then I'd like to just talk to you for a little while about some things that I want to challenge our church family about, and I hope will be a blessing and a help. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 13. The Bible there says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And then go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, parallel passage in verse number 2. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. As we think about these two verses, they have something in common. You'll note there in verse number 13 of Romans chapter 12, the scripture says that God's people should be given to hospitality. And then over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 2, the scripture says that we should not be forgetful to entertain strangers. And those two phrases, given to hospitality and the phrase entertain strangers, have the same significance. It has the idea of loving those who are strangers or loving those who are different than ourselves. Now, certainly, in the New Testament, there are several injunctions concerning hospitality. Several of them revolve around qualifications for ministry and the office of the bishop, and there is an instruction that he should be someone who is given to hospitality. But these two verses, those other verses really deal with hospitality that is particularly directed towards the brethren, or towards those that we are familiar with. And we should be hospitable one with another. We should open our homes to one another. We ought to welcome one another. We ought to have a warmness towards one another. But the idea of hospitality, as it's used in Romans chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 13, is a little bit of a different idea, and it is the idea that we should be hospitable to those that we are not so familiar with. Now, what we're talking about, this subject of hospitality, is something that is very familiar in the Far Eastern culture. Opening your home to people who are different, or people who are, if we call them strangers, people who are unfamiliar to you, is a normal part of the culture. In many parts of the world, if you visit in those places and you get in a conversation with someone, if you're a Bible teacher and you show up to talk with someone, chances are they're going to invite you into their home and they're going to have a little meal, a little refreshment, and they're going to host you there for a little while. They're going to show some hospitality, something that is perhaps a little less common and known to us in our American culture. Most of us are comfortable with, if somebody shows up at our door, just speaking to them at our door and exchanging whatever information needs to be exchanged and then dismissing them and them never really coming into our house. In many cultures or countries, that would be unheard of. That would be something that would be considered very rude. Now, again, you know, there's different cultural strengths and weaknesses, but certainly, would you agree with me that the American culture is a lot more isolated, is much more independent, that to us as Americans, our home is our castle. It's the place where we dwell, and it's our place, and we're very cautious and careful who we invite into that place. There's a difference in the culture of the Bible. In the culture of the Bible, a home was a place where you would often invite strangers to stay. There are lots of pressures and things that inform these sorts of decisions, but clearly in Romans chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 13, is there not an admonition to believers that we ought to love those who are strangers? Those who are not familiar to us. We ought to show hospitality to them. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, isn't that an interesting verse? And I'm not going to get real deep into Hebrews 13 too, but it does say that some people have entertained angels unawares simply because they were showing hospitality. Who knows? If you show kindness, how God might use that. Certainly we know, and this is the premise of the challenge tonight, that God can use hospitality that is shown to a stranger to attach some heartstrings to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And practically speaking, I want to challenge you about this area of entertaining strangers and being given to hospitality. I want you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15 highlights something which was a characteristic of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. As far as you know, was Jesus a homeowner? No, he wasn't. In fact, during his ministry, it was said of him that he did not have a house, did not have a place to lay his head. If we want to put it this way, Jesus was homeless. He was without an abode. Now, that would be very strange for us, wouldn't it? That would be something that we would not be that familiar with. But I want you to see something about Jesus. Even though he did not have a house where he would invite people to, let's start in verse 1 of Luke chapter 15. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So there was an accusation which was made against Jesus. And that accusation summed up is Jesus eats with sinners. He's fraternizing with people who are not religious, with people who are not right with God. And even though Jesus didn't have a house of his own where he would extend hospitality, something that is very characteristic of Jesus' ministry is that he was often on the receiving end of hospitality, which I will also point out to you is equally uncomfortable to us as Americans. If a stranger or someone that we don't know well invites us to their home and says, "I want you to come to my house for dinner," what is our normal knee-jerk reaction? I think I'm busy. I think I'm occupied that. Now, maybe some of you, that wouldn't be your response. Maybe you would be like, "Yeah, bonus, all right, get to go to somebody's house and eat." Isn't it also interesting how often, and this is only one example in Luke chapter 15, how often Jesus ate with sinners? There's something about sharing a meal with someone which breaks down walls and gives opportunity to minister to people. We've found in the opportunities where we've had the privilege of having people in our home that it's a great opportunity to minister to them, and that people who come to our home often express how appreciative they are that they could come. It's a great opportunity to be able to minister to people, then to share a meal with them. I remember one time being in the country of Cuba, and we were there doing some scouting, learning about the country, and we were making a lot of visits because of that. And in Cuba, you know, the people are very poor. They don't have much of anything. The average salary at that time, this is going back probably 17 or 18 years, the average salary was something like $30 a month for a professional. And so they didn't have a whole lot of anything. But whenever we made a visit, we were invited into the home. And then, of course, we had to have un cafecito, a little bit of coffee, which, if you know much about Cuban coffee, it's made in the Turkish style with the grounds intact, very strong and very sweet. And some of you remember Brother Orlando Garcia. He was with me. And one night, Brother Orlando said to me, "I can't understand why I can't sleep. I just cannot get any sleep." I said, "Brother, we're making like 6 or 7 visits a day. And everywhere we go, they give us a little coffee. We're having the equivalent of 6 to 7 espressos every day. No wonder we can't sleep." Now, what were those people doing? They were showing hospitality to us. And we were receiving that hospitality. And in doing so, we had an opportunity to build some ties of relationship with them. Now, as I was thinking about this idea of hospitality, and I think it's clear in the scriptures that God wants his people to be a hospitable people, I want to think about hospitality in two veins. I want to think about the hospitality that we show to people who come into the assembly. People who are not members of our church, people who come. This morning we probably had, 50 guests in our service, something like that. On a typical Sunday morning, it's very normal for us to have multiple guests in our services. It's a very normal thing. And so as a church, how do we relate to these people who are not a part of our assembly? How do we welcome them? How do we minister to them? And then beyond that, we want to think about hospitality, not just in the church house, but hospitality as it could be used at our own homes as an opportunity to specifically to share the gospel with people. And so I want to think about these two aspects of hospitality and share a couple of thoughts or truths with you. Thought number one that came to my mind is, some people will never come to our assembly even if you invite them. Now, there is a lot of recent research that shows that there are many people who would come to church if they were only invited, but they've never been invited. And so I do want to encourage you to take the opportunity to invite people to come to the assembly. But there are some people who, and I think as we enter past the postmodern era of our country, of our culture, and we get farther and farther away from our Christian roots, more and more people, every census, identify as being without religion or having no belief in God. As that becomes a larger segment of our society, I think we find more and more people will be reluctant to attend the assembly because it's not something they can identify with. It's not something that they understand. So there are some people that would never come to our assembly, even if they were invited. Does that mean that if somebody won't come to church, that we should not build a relationship with them, or that we should not share the gospel with them? And I think we could go to the New Testament and build a strong case for the fact that as those who are called to be salt and light, we should not discriminate in that way, but that we should really be reaching out to people and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Now, there's opportunities that could come just from walking up to people, handing a gospel tract, getting in a conversation with someone and talking to them about the things of the Lord. But I believe that there's a great opportunity to use our homes to reach out to people who might never come to our assembly, or at least not initially, because they would feel some reluctance in coming. Your home, which is your haven, your castle, I understand, especially if you have children, it's a place where you want to protect your family, but it's also a place, understand this, where people who are apart from Christ can see real Christianity being lived out in front of their eyes. People can actually relate with, understand, and maybe in a lot of cases, they've never had the opportunity to sit at a table with a whole family that is functioning in a biblical way. Never had an opportunity to be in a home. You understand there's a lot of people that don't have this opportunity, that are raised in broken situations, and to them, That's such a haven. That's such an opportunity for them to observe and to learn, and something that would pique their curiosity. I recently read the testimony of a woman who was a lesbian and was an activist for homosexual rights. In her life, she was known for being very strident in her stance. And along the way, a pastor wrote a letter to her in response to something that she posted in the paper. And he challenged some of her ideas and invited her to come to his home. She, kind of in spite, responded and said that she would. And they had her for dinner. She came over and spent time with their family. Took a while and a lot more dinner appointments. But there in that home, she saw real Christianity lived out. She saw a family that related to one another in a biblical way, and she was challenged in her thoughts about what a Christian was. And there in that home, she heard the gospel. Amen. There in that home, though she was different, she was loved. And there, she found Christ. Amen. She's now married, has children, and God has used her testimony in many different people's lives to challenge them about the power of hospitality. There's an opportunity to be able to minister to people who are different than us, to reach out to them, and she would have never come into an assembly because she saw that as the enemy. But she was willing to go to someone's home and to receive hospitality, and God used that in her life to bring her to salvation. The second thought that I had was, if people who are not a part of the assembly, and I'm particularly thinking of people who are unchurched or people who do not know the Lord, when they come into our assembly, many of them will not feel comfortable. They won't feel like they are a part the first time they come. Think about the first time that you go to a place that is different or that you've never been to. It's unfamiliar. See, for us, we come into this assembly and this is home. We're comfortable. We're used to all the different things about the building and where the bathrooms are and where to sit and the order of the service and when the pastor says to do this, this is what we do and this is the preaching time. You understand that sometimes people come in here who have never been in a church service in their life. And put yourself in their shoes for a minute and think about how strange it must seem to them. How difficult it must be to come into a place. By the way, when somebody comes like that, it tells you something about what God is doing in their life. And we ought to be paying attention as God's people, because if someone has the courage to come through the doors and join a group of people where they don't know anybody and be in the services, it could be indicative that God is up to something in their life. It's not always indicative of that, but it certainly should cause us to stop and think. And this caused me to ask the question, how can we welcome our guests? How can we be hospitable to our guests who come to the service? And so I want to just throw out some practical thoughts to you. Please don't be offended with anything that I say. They're meant to be helpful and challenging, and I hope that you'll think about the things that I say. Most of them are just refreshers. How can we welcome our guests? You might think for a moment, how would I welcome someone to my home? What kind of forethought would I put into welcoming someone to my home? So here's just, they're not in any particular order, some things that I thought about that could help us welcome our guests here to the assembly. The first thing I thought of is, don't be a distraction in the services. And by that I mean, don't be out in the foyer carrying on a conversation with someone else during the preaching time. You know, a lot of our guests come in as the services are starting, If they see pockets of church members scattered all through the foyer having conversations and ignoring the service, what must they think about what is going on inside?
Amen.
So it helps us to not be a distraction. By the way, once the singing starts, and really a little before the singing starts, you should make it your goal to be in your place so that you can worship the Lord in song. So think about, I'm not, you know, if you have to talk to somebody and it's really important and you need to, you lost your keys or whatever, I get it, all right? There's times when this stuff has to happen, but a lot of times it's just idle chit-chat with our friends that we haven't seen and that we aren't sure we're going to connect with, and we want to make sure that we tell them about that important phone call that we got or whatever, and we can be a distraction. How about leaving for the bathroom in the middle of the service or as the invitation is starting? And I get it. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But when we get to the time of invitation, we're asking people to really consider and think what they've been challenged with. And if a guest sees the majority of people in the congregation fiddling around, looking at the ceiling, twiddling their thumbs, a good portion of people heading for the doors, what must they think? Is it time to go? What's happening? I'm not understanding what's taking place right now. Can I ask you just, if you could you wait 5 more minutes? And then make your way to the restroom, and we'll be as quick as we can getting finished so that you can take care of that business. And it helps if you take care of that before the service. And, all right, I'm starting to meddle. And if you don't drink 2 Dunkin' Donuts coffees while I'm preaching, right? But if you need that to stay awake, then go ahead, all right? Just asking for your consideration with that and thinking about our guests. You know, if you went to a classical music concert, they would tell you the concert is good. I mean, you don't leave unless there's an emergency. Unless there's a true emergency, you stay in your seat. Why? Because it disrupts everything. It disturbs people. We went to a ball game, a baseball game. Man, they don't let people go in and out of the baseball game in the aisles while they're playing. Nope. Wait right here until there's a break. Okay, now you can go. In the Lord's house, maybe we should give that some consideration and not be a distraction to our guests. I know it's popular to use your cell phone for a Bible, but it's easy to go from your cell phone Bible to Facebook to Instagram to checking the news to whatever. And if the guests in our services see a lot of the people around them looking at their cell phones during the service, then that could be a distraction as well. See, I'm just throwing out some ideas there and encouraging you. You know, you have an opportunity to really draw people's attention to the preaching. This is what we're here to hear. We want to hear from God, and we're glad that you came, and we hope that you hear from God too. So don't be a distraction. Try to do your best not to distract others. If you have to be in and out a lot, sometimes people are having back problems or other medical issues, then try to sit near the back so that you can excuse yourself without needing to disturb the services, and that could be a real help. A second of all, I thought we could welcome our guests just by having a helpful and selfless attitude. Just by, instead of thinking about myself when I come to church, who do I want to talk to? What business do I need to get done? And I'll just say this, the church house, the assembly, is not a place to do business anyway. We come here to worship the Lord. Try to save your business for other times, or, you know, maybe well after the service is over, but really concentrate on, I'm here to worship the Lord. And then look for others and say, I want to be helpful and selfless to them. I want to look for ways to serve our guests. Think about just crazy things like somebody comes in, they have no idea where the bathroom is. They have no idea where to hang their coat. Now, our ushers try to help with these things, but, you know, you as a member of the church could certainly, if you see a guest who looks like they're confused, they don't know where to go, then step up and help them a little bit and show a servant's attitude. Welcome them to our home. Any more than if somebody came into your house and they were wearing their coat and they sat down on the couch and they looked like they didn't know what to do, would you just leave them sitting there? Or would you address them and say, can I take your coat? Can I make you comfortable? Thank you so much for coming to our house. We're so glad that you see what I'm saying? Just being hospitable is getting outside of ourselves and thinking about others. And I know, you know, we come here, for most of you, you've been in the world all week, you've been working a job, you've gotten hammered, and you're excited about fellowship, and you're looking forward to seeing your friends and your loved ones, and I love that. I love that we connect with each other and that we fellowship, but let's also be thinking about our guests who come into this assembly with us and how we can minister to them. By the way, there'll usually be lots of time after they have headed out to be able to visit with your friends and have the conversations that you need to have. Here's another way that you can be helpful with our guests is to make room and offer to allow them to sit with you. You know, I mention this from time to time, especially when we're expecting a lot of guests. It's helpful if you don't camp out on the end of the row and then make people climb over you to get into the row. You know, if you really are insistent on having the end, you have a need for that, then at least, you know, step aside and let them get past you. Let them get into the row. Make room for them. Even better is if you have an opportunity to talk to one of our guests and they're here by themselves and they don't have a friend, nobody that invited them, why don't you say to them, hey, would you like to sit with me? I would love to have you sit with me. And what is your name? And this is my name. And we're so glad that you're here. I mean, just go out of your way to be hospitable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Look for opportunities. Usually, we feel awkward. They feel more awkward. And we're not making a good connection. It's easy to miss that. And so just little things can go a long ways towards making them feel welcome. By the way, our church, I think, does a fabulous job of making people feel welcome and getting by and making sure that people know that we're glad that they're here. But this is a great practical way then to build some ties with that person. Show a genuine interest in that person without prying for all the details of their life. You know the balance between the two, right? There's polite conversation. Do you know when it crosses over to impolite conversation? So be careful about that. Be cautious, but at the same time, show a genuine interest in them. What brought you here? How did you hear about our church? Did someone here invite you? Or did you, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, I found it on the internet. We had a guest here this morning, a family in our services. They found us on the internet. They Googled us and they came. So thankful that they were here. And so, you know, you get to know them a little bit, get to find out what their spiritual needs are. Sometimes you're going to find out that they have something going on in their life, that God is doing something. We have a young fellow, where is he over here? John Snow. We have this young fellow who showed up in our service one night on a Wednesday, or on a Sunday morning, wasn't it?
Amen.
Sunday morning, he came in, and do you remember his testimony? He's an engineer through and through, so he was going to visit a whole bunch of churches, and he had scheduled it out so he could visit the most possible in one Sunday, and we happened to have the earliest service, and he showed up for our 9 o'clock Sunday school, and one of our men ushered him over to a table, and the rest is history.
Amen.
God was at work in his life. He made some connections with the men at that table, and praise the Lord for that, you know, for people who showed an interest in him and reached out to him at a time when God was doing something in his life. Here's another way you can really, I think, build some heartstrings with people who are guests. Share your story about what God did in your life. Share with them how God saved you and what God is at work doing in your life. Share with them a little bit about what the church means to you. And if you've been here for a while, you know, what is it that you appreciate about the church? And these kind of things help guests to make an identification with the church. I think people, if they come in and they get lost in the crowd and don't really get to know anyone, it's easy for them to never come back. But if they get to build some relationships with people, that really makes a difference. If you get the opportunity, you could offer them a Bible study. You could share with them, I'd love to sit down and talk to you about the things of the Lord, and we'd love to give you an opportunity to do a Bible study. Now, you have to be careful with this, all right? If five people offer to do a Bible study with the same person in the same service, they might be like, what is going on with that church? But, you know, if you have an opportunity and the door opens as you share your testimony, you may have an opportunity then to invite them to do a Bible study and to be curious about where they are in their spiritual journey, what God is doing in their life. Here's another thing that I think is really helpful. You could invite them to come to your home for dinner. And if you come to church on Sunday with it in your mind, you know, we could have somebody come over for dinner and you just have that in your mind, we're going to try to invite someone to come and be prepared for that, God could use that. Now, you know, a lot of times the guests who come in to our services are Americans, right? And so don't be surprised if they say, no problem, you know, I got plans already. But you invited, you showed some hospitality, you extended an offer, and you might have an opportunity then to say, you know, we'd love to get together with you another time if it works out, and maybe I could get your cell phone number and I could shoot you a text and we could get together sometime and just chat and get to know one another a little bit more. You see, one of the main reasons that people attend a church is because they're looking to build relationships. And yet in many churches, especially larger churches, it's not uncommon for people to come in, talk to no one except for the greeter at the door or an usher, and leave without talking to anyone. And again, I want to say I appreciate Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. You all do a great job with this, and I want to commend you in that and encourage you to continue welcoming our guests. Lots of opportunities to welcome our guests, to make them feel welcome, to make sure that they know we're glad that they're in our services. However, I do want to point this out. Guests are not members. The assembly is primarily for members and not for guests. We want our guests to feel welcome, but in the assembly, there are things that pertain to just the assembly that don't pertain to guests. That's part of being a member and having that commitment, all right? So we can't take that away, and we can't separate it, and we don't want to break it down so far that we're just saying, let's not even look like a church so that people will be comfortable when they come in. But we do want to welcome them. We do want to make sure that we're glad that they're here, and we want to minister to them while they are here. But do you know that sometimes, oftentimes, in the assembly is not even going to be the place where you're going to make the best gospel connection with someone. But it's going to be in your home, which I think is why it's so important to show hospitality. And that's the third thought that I want to share with you tonight. And that is, you and I can use our homes in a powerful way for gospel conversations. Now, in order to do this, it means we're going to have to invite people into our home who are not believers, who don't know the Lord. You see, you can't very well be inviting all the church families over and having just gospel. You can fellowship and you can encourage, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'm talking about something a little bit different, which is reaching out to others using our home. And we can engage people in some gospel conversations when we use our home in this way. What an opportunity, I believe, that we have when we open our home to people and let them see Christ in us. Amen. Share a meal with them. Share with them what God has done in your life. You might even find that it's a great opportunity to invite some other folks from the church and make some connections and build some relationships and look to include people who do not yet know the Lord. And then look for opportunities to steer the conversation towards the things of the Lord. I believe there is a great opportunity that is before us. And particularly, we find that this opportunity especially is powerful with people from other cultures. So we, you know, if we're trying to connect with people who have the same culture as us, don't be offended, but they're probably going to have a lot of the same hesitancy that you would have to someone just walking up to you out of the blue and saying, would you like to come to my house for dinner? Stop for one second. You go to Walmart. You're shopping. You get in a conversation with someone for a few minutes and they say, hey, my wife made extra dinner. Why don't you come on over to our house? What are you going to do? Most of you, you're going to go, can I take a rain check? Really long rain check, all right? But you know what? There are some cultures where that is so natural and normal that you would probably take them up on that. If you were from that culture, you would take them up on that invitation. You know, one place, I've been challenged about this recently, and we have quite a few international students in our area. You know, there's a great ministry area. International students who are studying abroad, living in a dorm or in a house that they share with other college students, eating ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. And there's a great opportunity, if you can connect with them, to invite them to your home for a home-cooked meal, and then to be able to share with them something about Christ. A great opportunity. Most successful college campus ministries that I'm aware of use this tool very effectively, and they are truly hospitable to those that they are ministering to. Good opportunities. We can use our homes in a powerful way for gospel conversations. But then, fourth of all, part of this that goes along is also that we should be open to receiving hospitality. Because in many cultures, the giving and receiving of hospitality is very important. It's how you build relationships. And we have to be open to receiving that hospitality just as much as we have to be open to inviting and sharing hospitality with them. And I believe that as God's people, we might be surprised how many opportunities we have to share the gospel with people and to really minister to them in a powerful way. If we could learn something about the giving and receiving of hospitality. I've puzzled over this. How is it that people can sit in our services week in and week out and hear the gospel preached and from the outside be visibly unmoved as if it doesn't affect them? And I think part of it is because in a large group like this, it's easy to have the idea, he's preaching to everybody else. Now, of course, we know the Holy Spirit can apply the truth. We know that God can use that in their life. But I also know this, that there is more than one person who's gotten saved in our church and is here now because someone showed enough personal interest in them to reach out to them, to personally connect with them, to begin having spiritual conversations with them, to challenge them about their salvation, eventually to do a Bible study. And those people who had sat under the preaching for a long time and it hadn't connected, when there was a one-on-one opportunity, it all clicked together and they got saved. Amen. Says something about how we relate to others and how God often works in our lives. And I want to challenge us as a church in two areas. One, I want to challenge us as a church this year in 2020 to really work hard at receiving guests in our assembly, to strengthen the things that we already do well and to improve the things that need to be improved, but really to come to the house of God looking for opportunities to minister to others instead of just to be ministered to. Amen. You'll find that as you minister to others, you will be ministered to as well. But second of all, I want to place a challenge before you. I'm not demanding that you do it, but I'm asking that you pray about it. I'm asking that you ask the Lord if he would have you be involved in using your home to extend hospitality to those who are without Christ for the express purpose of preaching the gospel to them and seeing them come to know the Lord. Would you agree with me tonight that you would pray about that? And just ask God if that would be his will. If you pray about it and the Lord says, you know, it's not the right time, it's not, your situation isn't right, that's fine. That's between you and the Lord. But I just want to ask you to pray about it and ask the Lord if he would show you if that's something he would have you to do. Amen. And I thought about this. What if God used each one of our families to really connect with someone who is unchurched, unsaved, doesn't know the Lord in this coming year? What might the Lord do with that number of people that are being impacted with the gospel? What might that do to our vision? And how might that help us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest? I find this to be true. It's easy to look at someone who is different than you or who has different ideas than you do And from a distance, from far away, it's easy to yell at them. It's easy to disagree with them. It's easy to have a strong controversy. But when you sit across the table from someone with a plate of food or a cup of coffee, and you listen to them and they listen to you, it does something different. And you have an opportunity to connect with that person in a way that you might not connect any other way. And I think it's a great opportunity for us. And I'm reminded of our text that we started with, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And us as believers, let us be given to hospitality. Would you pray about that and ask God to use you in that way?